We are going to be in the Gospel according to John, chapter number 4, verse 19 through 24 tonight, as we continue looking at this little series on the must of the Bible. What the Bible says must come to pass or must happen. So far, we have looked at several of these. We looked at you must be born again. For anyone to be saved and to enter into the kingdom of God, they must be born again. There's no other way that you can enter into God's kingdom except through a new birth, a birth from above experience. Then we looked at the Son of Man must be lifted up. And there's no way that you and I can be saved unless Jesus Christ hung on a cross and sacrificed His blood and His life for us. Then we looked at, he that cometh to God must believe that He is and is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So we must also believe in Christ and who Christ is biblically. And then we looked at, he must increase, but I must decrease. That must happen and will happen. As Christ is exalted, we will be decreasing. And then last week we looked at, we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And so entering into the kingdom of God, entering into eternity, and the rule and reign of Christ is not an easy thing for us. We must go through much tribulation. Tonight we want to look at, they that worship must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So let's look at verse 19. The context is the woman at the well who Jesus Christ has made a special trip because He has a divine appointment to meet with her. She's going to come to know Christ this day. It will be a blessed day for her. And the Lord is speaking with her concerning spiritual things. Verse 19, the woman saith unto Him, Sir, I perceive that Thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And all God's people said, Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly bow before Your Word, asking You tonight to instruct us and to illuminate us that we may see You and see clearly the truth and see that salvation and worship is in and through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And God is a God that cannot be worshipped on our terms, but must be worshipped on His. And so help us be compliant to Your Word and help us to honor and glorify You in all that we say and all that we do. For to please You is our desires. So God, help us tonight as we assemble ourselves and look into Your Word. May we worship You tonight and may You help us worship You in spirit and in truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I have desired for several months to preach a series of messages on biblical worship. I haven't been able to do that yet. Maybe in the near future I can, if the Lord will open that door for me. But there's much in the Bible about worship. And I think that we need to get back to biblical worship. Worship as the Bible prescribes, not as we have prescribed it to be. And of course, to do that, you have to go back to the Bible and, and pull out these principles and patterns that God has laid for us to follow. But while there's much in the Bible about worship that we won't be looking at tonight, what we will be looking at tonight is in the Bible and is a part of worship. If you want to worship God, you have to worship Him in spirit and in truth, or else you don't worship God. The simplest way I can define worship is this. Worship, very simply and very elementary, is to acknowledge God's worth-ship. What is God worth? Is He extremely valuable to you? Is He extremely worthy to you? And if He is, then we ought to ascribe worship to Him, because worship is acknowledging His worth-ship. Now, of course, in our effort in America and in our churches, we attempt to pull God down to our level. And in the process of pulling God down to our level, we have basically destroyed worship. Because he's not seen as worthy and as great and as wonderful. Because we have brought Him down to our level. We have diminished His worthiness, so therefore we have diminished our worship. Can I say this? God has created every one of us to worship. And we all worship. But not all of us worship God. Now I want you to get those three truths. We're all created to worship, and we all worship, but we don't all worship God. Because we must worship God in spirit and in truth. And what goes on in many churches is not worship in spirit and in truth. I think worship of God is the least done thing in churches and probably the most important thing that believers can do. It is the most important thing we could do, yet it seems to be the least thing that we actually do. And so we must have some understanding of how the Bible defines and how the Bible describes worship, or acknowledging God's worth-ship. And so I wanted to look at this text, and I want to try to attack this idea of worship in spirit and truth from three vantage points tonight that I hope will help us to see what true, genuine worship is from this text. Let's begin by looking at the errors of worship. The errors of worship. This Samaritan woman says that our fathers worship on this mountain, and you, Jews, say that you worship in Jerusalem. And then Jesus tells her that she doesn't know whom she worships, and that salvation is of the Jews, and the Jews know whom they worship. So there's some worship going on here that is not genuine worship. And there are many errors going on in churches and among professing believers that are errors in worship that I want to try to quickly touch on tonight. Now, those of us who are saved, and salvation does a lot of things for us, but one thing that salvation or conversion does for us is that it enables us to glorify God and to worship God. We see that this woman at the well seems to be, to a certain degree, interested in worship. She's interested enough to discuss it with Jesus, right? So she's interested in worship to a degree, and she has a certain point of view concerning worship, whether that point of view is correct or not. But again, I would just remind you that everything that is labeled worship is not necessarily worship. You can go to church and come home and say, "We worship today," and you never worship. She said, the Samaritans worship here, you worship there. But maybe worship's not happening at all. Jesus again tells the woman, you worship, you know not what. So let me tonight give you two common errors in worship. Number one, unthoughtful worship. You worship, ye know not what. Unthoughtful worship. Do you know sometimes we come to church to worship, I hope, and we are absolutely thoughtless concerning what we're doing? We come into the church and we don't stop and think about what we're getting ready to do. We don't stop and realize what we're getting ready to engage in. We don't stop to marvel at who we're coming into the presence of. And for me, it's simply amazing how we as human beings can become so mechanical in many different things, including worship. We come to church and we haven't prepared our hearts. We sing songs and never contemplate the words. We like songs because they have a good beat, not because they have good words. We hear a sermon, but we don't really hear it. And then we get up and leave, and we say, we've worshiped, without ever giving any thought beyond the surface of things, what we're doing. How often have you, don't answer this, but how often have you sang a song in church or listened to a sermon while all along your mind was somewhere else? It is possible to come to church and simply go through the motions and do it without a single thought about what it is or what it's for. Just go through the motions. Can I say this? That's not worship. It's not. Unthoughtful worship. Singing songs, listening to preaching, listening to the choir, and never even engaging our minds into what is going on. And then, can I say, secondly, not only is there unthoughtful worship, there is unintellectual worship. And here's what I mean by that. There is what we are calling worship that has very little thought. And then there is worship that is simply us not having a clue of what we're doing or why we're doing it. What I mean by that is there is much in worship that is nothing more than tradition. It's nothing more than habit. Our custom. Why do you do that? Well, I don't know. We've always done it that way. Why do you do that song? I don't know. They've always done that song. Why do you have this certain order? I don't know. We've always done it that way. Why is the pulpit in the middle of the church? Well, I don't know. It's habit. It's custom. It's tradition. You may have been worshiping years in a given way or a certain manner and have no idea why. We just do it that way. It's how we were brought up. And guess what? We've never thought about it. We've never searched Scripture about it. We've never examined it. We've never asked any questions about it. We've just sort of inherited these traditions. There's what has been called over the past 10, 15 years in churches, those things they call worship wars. And worship wars are happening inside the church between a lot of times younger people and older people and whatever. But worship wars are normally not over what is biblical and what is unbiblical. Worship wars are normally over what this group prefers and what that group prefers. Preference. And these quarrels and these fights are about what we prefer in worship. Usually, normally, it's the type of music that we prefer. I prefer this type of music, and somebody will say, well, I prefer this type of music, and I don't want to be mean tonight, and I hope you don't take it the way that I'm being mean, but can I say this? It really doesn't matter what you prefer. It doesn't. Don't get mad. It doesn't. It matters what God's prescribed. But there is much we do in worship that is based on tradition or our preferences. Amen? Normally, people find churches not based upon preaching, but based upon what? Well, I've had a lot of people come through here and say, well, I liked the preaching, didn't like the music. Why are you judging a church on music? Amen? Did you listen to the word? Nobody said, I don't like the words of the song. No, I don't like the style. There's where we are. We pick our churches based upon our preferences instead of biblical warrant. It is an error because you can't worship God according to your preferences or according to your traditions. You can't be unintellectual worship or unthoughtful worship. It's not worship at all. Amen? Number two, the essentiality of worship. Now, I do want to say tonight that worship is important, and the worship of God is important. It's really important. Your worship of God is really, really important. It is an important subject, and it's important how we do it. And to the believer, worship is essential. Worship is essential to the believer for a couple of reasons. And before I get to those reasons, I just want to say this. Worship is so important that every element of the service that we have here should be moving us toward worshiping God. Not entertaining, not filling time, but moving you toward worship of God. Now the reasons. Worship is essential to a believer because worship is the mark of the new nature. Worship is a mark, is the evidence of the presence of a new nature given to us by God. Now let me share a verse that will substantiate my argument here. It's Philippians 3:3. It's on the bottom of your screen if you can see that, but I'll read it to you. Starts out this way, for we are the circumcision. We are God's children. We are God's people. We are the regenerate. For we are the circumcision. And then he gives us three reasons why we can say we are the circumcision. We are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Three things identify those who are regenerated by the power of the Holy Ghost. They worship God in the Spirit. They rejoice in Christ Jesus. And they have no confidence in the flesh. Did you hear the first one? They worship God in spirit. So this kind of worship that Jesus is talking to the woman about is essential if you are a believer. So this should be really, really important to you. You get it right. And if it's not important to you, maybe you don't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It is a fact, is it not, that we can only come to worship God after the Holy Spirit has been at work in our hearts through regeneration? Worship, true, genuine worship of God in the Spirit is the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a regenerated believer. It is a mark of the new nature that indwells us. And then it is the mandate of God. Jesus says that the Father in heaven is seeking those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, John has three musts, right? We've looked at all three now in his gospel. Three great doctrines. You must be born again. There's the necessity of the new birth. Christ must be lifted up, the necessity of the death, the crucifixion of Christ, and the necessity of true, genuine worship in the Spirit. And notice this, that all three must go together. The Father in heaven is not interested in our traditions. He's not interested in the traditions of Lakeview Baptist Church, and He's not interested in the traditions of the Roman Catholic Church. He is not interested. He's not interested in our style of music and what we prefer. He's not interested in that. He's interested in finding those who will worship in spirit and in truth. That is what God requires of us. And it is sad that I think God is hard-pressed to find true, genuine worship. It is a mandate of God. It is the mark of the new nature. That's how essential true, genuine worship is. So I don't think that we can just say that the way we worship at Lakeview doesn't matter. It does matter. And the way you worship matters as well. Number three, the essence of worship. So let's get to the heart of the matter here of worship. To worship God, you must worship in spirit and in truth. You must worship in spirit and in truth, or else you're not worshiping God no matter what you do or how well you like it or how loud you play it. It just doesn't matter. And you can call it worship, and you can say you've worshiped, but if you haven't worshiped in spirit and in truth, you haven't worshiped. Now let's dive in here a little bit. Let's notice the place of worship. Now, the woman here is concerned with geographical location. She's concerned with geographical places of worship. The Samaritans worship here, you worship there. This mountain or that mountain. But Jesus is not concerned with geographical places. He's concerned with different places of worship. Now, when speaking about the worship in spirit, I do believe that we can only worship God as the Spirit leads us to worship. But I'm not sure that's what Jesus is saying here, although that is true. To worship in spirit, notice there's not a definite article there. It doesn't say to worship in the Spirit. So there's missing a definite article there. And Spirit is not capitalized, although it doesn't always have to be. So while I think that true, genuine worship has to be led by the Holy Spirit, I think what Jesus is teaching here is that He Himself is bringing in an age by His death and resurrection that the place you worship doesn't matter. The geographical location that you worship has no bearing for a man or a woman. Amen? In other words, you're not worshiping just being in the right place and doing certain things. That's not worship. Worship happens in our spirits. Worship in spirit. Now let me try to explain that a little bit more here, if you'll give me just a minute. Many people worship with their bodies. That means, what I mean by that is they have, like I've already said, they consider themselves to have worshiped if they have been in the right place and done the right things at the right time. They would refer to people who think they have worshiped God simply because they have occupied a seat in the church on Sunday morning, or they stood and they sang a hymn, or they might have, in a different kind of church, lit a candle or crossed themselves, however they want to do that, or knelt in an aisle. I thought I was pastoring a Catholic church because the way I look around, everybody's up and down, up and down, up and down. I thought I'm in a Catholic church. Right? We don't have a growing problem, we have a going problem. That was free. I just wanted to. But just because you occupy a seat at church, just because you sing a hymn, doesn't mean you've worshiped. In some cases, those things may hinder worship. But they are not worship in themselves. So we can't confuse worship with particular things we do on a Sunday morning. Because we can do all those things and not worship. If we just do it with our bodies, physically do it. I also want to say, in addition, we must not confuse worship with some feeling or emotion. While I do think that in worship there is emotion, there is feeling, emotions can be stirred in real worship. There are times when tears fill eyes and joy floods the heart. But you understand, it's possible for those things to happen and still no worship be there. It's possible to be moved by a song or moved by a story the preacher tells and yet not come to a genuine awareness of God at all. I ask people a lot of times, I went somewhere and heard a preacher. I said, well, what did he preach on? I don't know, but he told this great story. Remember the stories. True worship occurs when the part of us, our spirit, that was once dead yet has been quickened by the Holy Spirit and is akin to the divine nature of God because God is spirit, actually meets with God and finds itself praising God for His love and His wisdom, His beauty, His truth, His holiness, His compassion, His mercy, His grace, His power, and all of His other attributes. True and genuine worship is not to come to a certain place at a certain time, not to go through a certain ritual. It's not to bring certain gifts. True worship is when your spirit, the immortal and invisible part of you, speaks and meets with God who is immortal and invisible. That's when worship happens, not bodily, not externally, not emotionally, but in your spirit. And I believe the Holy Spirit has to help in that. You see why God's looking for that? Because a lot of times in our worship, what? The body is willing, but the spirit is weak. We're here. Oh, but preacher, you don't know what it took to get here. We're here, but we're just here physically. We haven't engaged Him spiritually. And if you've been saved any time, you know what it means to engage Christ spiritually. You know what it means for the Holy Spirit to just to bring Christ to a reality to your heart through a song or through a sermon or through the reading of the Word or being with us. You just know that you've worshiped in the Spirit. And then not only do we see here the place of worship in our spirits, but we see the principles of worship. The second element is truth. True worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. What does that mean? A couple of things, I think. I think, firstly, it means that we have to approach God truthfully. That is, you have to be honest with God in worship. I think that's what Jesus was referring to in Matthew when he said of the people of his day, "They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain," is what he said. According to Jesus there, no worship is true worship unless there is an honesty of our hearts on the part of the worshiper. We must not pretend to worship. We must worship truthfully, knowing that God knows everything. Why put on a facade with God knowing everything? Secondly, we must worship on the basis of biblical revelation. That's why it's important that we preach the Word. We preach the truth. You can't worship without the truth. John 17:17, your word is truth. And I just want to alert you people here that love the truth, and I'm grateful and I appreciate you and love you for loving the truth, but we're never going to have a large church preaching the truth. It's not popular. It's not what people want. They're not going to flock in. Some of the ones that are here will leave. But there's never any worship unless there is divine truth. So God commands us to worship, but our worship must be in accord with the principles and admonitions of this. Worship must be in connection with the doctrines and principles of the Word of God. So we have to come to God. We have to be honest. We have to worship according to truth, biblical revelation. And then we must approach God in truth. And that means we must approach God in Christ, because there's no other way to approach Him. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And let me say this. Preaching from the Bible doesn't mean you're preaching the Bible. Mentioning Christ every once in a while is not preaching and exalting Christ. To come through Christ is to come in truth. He is truth, and we must come God's way or we can't come at all. We cannot devise our own ways of coming to Christ or worshiping God. We must come God's way. It is the old picture of Pilgrim's Progress, right? Christian sees these people climbing the wall trying to get in some other way. Isn't that what we're trying to do? We're trying to do it some other way. And here's the folly of this. We try to do it some other way except the way that God set it to be, and we think God's going to bless it and it's going to be profitable. It's not. We can get a crowd. Well, you, preacher, it is the fastest growing church in America. At Anderson, South Carolina, the fastest, the largest church, fastest growing church in America. There's got to be something going right over there. No, it doesn't. Crowd don't mean you're right. Remember, Barack Obama got elected by the majority of America. I don't think they got it right. You got to come. Now I've gotten political and now I'm going to be in trouble. I'll get a summons from the town hall wanting to see my sermons. We have to come to God in God's way. And here's the thing that I want to just leave you with here before I'm done. When we come to God God's way, we find Him. And what we find in God is an inexhaustible and wonderful discovery that makes us want to worship Him more. I can remember Brother Tom Hayes was preaching. He was preaching on Old Testament, blood, Christ, sort of the Holy of Holies. And I can remember I was in my church in Virginia. I was in the church I got saved in. I wasn't even preaching at that point. I was just listening to that sermon, and in that sermon, I worshiped. I sat there in that pew, tears running down my eyes, and I felt as if I was going to explode. I wanted Him to shut up so I could get to the altar. I felt that I need to bow before God. If He would just shut up, I'd come to the altar. I hadn't been saved long. I didn't know you could just come to the altar whenever you wanted to. But I'm here to tell you, I felt like my insides were going to explode. That's worship. In the Spirit. Through the preaching of the truth of Christ. Amen? And once you see that, once you experience that, you want to experience it again. You want to see it again. You want to feel it again. Amen? May we pray. May we ask God to send the Spirit that we may worship Him in spirit and in truth. May we so love truth that we say, we don't care. Preach the truth so that we may worship. For there is no worship outside of the truth. We haven't come to worship physically or emotionally. We have come to worship You in our spirit. For God is spirit. Amen? If you want to worship God, what's Jesus say? You must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word tonight. I pray that You'd help us to see these truths. God, that we would not call what we do physically worship. We would not necessarily call what we feel emotionally worship. It could be. Oh God, but help us to worship You in our spirit in connection with the truth of Your word in and through the truth, our Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, I pray that as You're looking for those who are truly worshiping You, that You could find those here at Lakeview. And You could find that in me. Oh, help us to worship You in spirit and in truth. And help us to find that that is just an inexhaustible discovery that we want more and more. In Christ's name we pray, and for Jesus' sake, amen.